Following is a clip recorded live during my talk with a class in Economic Growth and Development at St. John's University in New York. The subject is A Brief History of Congo and Heart of Diamonds.
Without further ado, I present Dave Donaldson.
Thank you very much. I didn't think you were going to give away how long we've known each other. But it's great to be here this morning. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you a little bit about a subject that's grown near and dear to my heart, which is the Democratic Republic of the Congo. As Joyce mentioned, I've done a lot of things in my life so far. I hope to do a few more before things are done. I've had three careers, but no, without a question, the most satisfying one I've had is the one I'm doing now, which is working full-time as a freelance writer. I became interested in the Congo through kind of a back door, really. I was, quite frankly, searching for a topic to write a thriller about. I wanted to write something different from what I'd done before, and I was fishing around for subjects, and I ran across a story in Time magazine from, like, 1994, okay? And the story was about Pat Robertson, the man that is the televangelist that runs the 700 Club. He ran for president of the United States at one time, you know, well-connected guy, also a multi-billionaire. And he's built his fortune on his religion. There's no two ways about that. But I was caught by this story about Pat Robertson's connections with Mobutu Sese Seko, who is the dictator that raped the Congo for 32 years. Okay? Now, the irony that these two men would be business partners and friends was just too great for me to pass up. And that's what led me to write Heart of Diamonds. And I used that relationship, the fact that Pat Robertson owned diamond mines, gold mines, timber concessions. He owned a 50,000-acre farm near Kinshasa, the capital of the Democratic Republic of Congo. At the time, of course, the country was known as Zaire. That's what Mobutu named it. And it was a relationship that was just that was built on greed, just like, unfortunately, everything else that goes on in the Congo is pretty much the history of the country is a history of greed. The greed of the people that developed it first, the people that have been fighting over it ever since. Now, I don't know if you how far in your research you went beyond the novel, but the Congo's history is one that certainly bears a little bit of exploration. As you may know, the country was originally the personal private property of King Leopold II of Belgium. It was not a colony. King Leopold decided he wanted a country, and so he went out and got one. He hired Henry Stanley. You may remember Henry Stanley as the guy in the famous tale that found Dr. Livingstone in the jungles of Africa. And he walked up to Dr. Livingstone. Dr. Livingstone, I presume, because Livingstone had been missing for many, many years. Henry Stanley was a controversial figure known in his time as a great explorer, but he was the first man to travel the length of the Congo River. And once he had done that, he turned around to King Leopold, who he knew was in the market for a country, and said, I can make the arrangements for you to own the entire Congo River basin. Now, geographically, the nation of the Democratic Republic of Congo, which is basically the area we were talking about at the time, is the size of Western Europe. It's about the size of the United States east of the Mississippi. And King Leopold II owned it because Henry Stanley went up the river and made business deals with the kings and tribal leaders throughout that region. You think that Peter Minuet's $24 worth of beads for Manhattan Island was a bargain? Well, King Leopold didn't even pay that much. And he got not only the entire area that we're talking about, the size of the United States east of the Mississippi River, but he got the people who he essentially turned into slaves. And he manipulated that country and milked it dry in the face of growing distaste and displeasure in the rest of the world until finally he was forced, I believe it was 1905 or 1908, to turn around and, in a gesture of magnificence, sell the country to Belgium that he already was the ruler of. So it was the ultimate insider deal. He turned around for, I don't know what the price was, I'm going to say hundreds of millions of dollars, and sold the Congo to Belgium as a colony. And then the country of Belgium took over and ran it until 1960, when the Congo achieved its independence. At that time, the Congo, the Belgians said, see you later, and walked out, leaving a country that had five people with university degrees in it in charge of its own fate. They took the entire government with them, they took the entire infrastructure, and they walked out. And of course, as would be expected in a vacuum like that, the country collapsed in itself. And that brought us really to the present modern day Congo, so to speak. The country was able to hold parliamentary elections in 1960. At that time, Patrice Lumumba was elected prime minister of the country. Lumumba was not a favorite of the United States government or most of the Western powers. He was believed to side with the Russians, and the Cold War, of course, was at its peak at this time. So the CIA very neatly assassinated him. And over a period of about 6 months, they put Mobutu in power. And Mobutu is the dictator that ran the country from essentially 1960 until, I believe, it was 1997, when finally he was overthrown. And that's what started, at that time, is what started the Second Congo War. The Second Congo War is what's continued to this day. It's cost the lives of 6 million people. It's the deadliest conflict since World War II. The Second Congo War is what serves as the backdrop of Heart of Diamonds. Now, this class, of course, isn't interested in the politics of the Congo, and I could bore you to tears with discussing who's doing what to who, and we'll talk about that maybe a little bit later. But basically, the country's development has been one driven by the greed of outside parties. Mobutu ran the country and stole some $5 billion of his country's resources that was never recovered. He, by the way, was not killed in office. He retired once it became apparent he was going to be killed in office, left the country and died not long after of natural causes. The $5 billion was never recovered. That, in essence, was the entire output of the Congo during the 30 years that Mobutu ran it. Of course, when you're a kleptocrat and you run a country like that, you don't do it by yourself. You have lots of people that support you. You have a bureaucracy. You have a staff. You have people that keep the other people in line. And, of course, those people made off with tons and tons of money that probably resides in Swift Banks or Antigua or other places like that. But that's what the economy of the Congo was about. It was about supporting the lifestyles and the ambitions of a very few people at the very top. Now, what's been going on since then is that outside interests, the United States and Britain, Belgium, Germany, there are many commercial interests that wish to participate in the potential of the Congo. There are also countries like Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, Angola, that border the Congo, that also wish to take advantage of the great mineral resources that the country has. And that's what's fed the fighting that's gone on since 1998. The war that started then, as I mentioned, has taken 6 million lives. It's been a horrible, brutal conflict that's drawn in lots and lots of people. And that, indeed, is the backdrop of Heart of Diamonds. I hope, by the way, you enjoyed the book, too. I mean, it was written not as a history book or an economics primer. It was meant to be a thriller. Hopefully, someone in Hollywood will buy the rights to it one of these days, and I'll actually make a nickel off of it, you know. But the idea is that that served as a great backdrop for a for the book. Now, by the way, if there are any questions or comments at any time, let me know. I'll be glad to stop. As I mentioned, the Congo is about the size of Western Europe or the United States east of the Mississippi. The capital of Kinshasa, which is in the eastern part of the country here, has about 9.5 million people, making it about the same size as New York City, right? It is not some kind of a backwater country, this or city. The city of Kinshasa has beautiful wide boulevards and high-rise buildings and modern hospitals and airports and things like that. Some not in perhaps as good of repair as they are here, although if you've driven across the Tappan Zee Bridge or down the LIE, we could use a little infrastructure work here too. But Kinshasa is indeed a modern city. There are several modern cities in the Congo, and about a third of the population, the country has about 60 million people, 62 million I think, about a third of the population lives in the 10 largest cities. The other two-thirds of the population live in small towns and villages and in the countryside, dispersed throughout what is a very diverse geography. We tend to think of Congo and we think of the jungle. I mean, and that's the archetype. But the jungle region, the rainforest region, is the region around the Congo River, which runs here, back and forth across the equator. And all of that is rainforest. The southern parts are plateaus. They can be arid, almost high desert in terms of geography. They have very distinct seasons, although not the same. They don't have any snow. But they certainly have a cold season, wet season, and dry season. And the southern part of the country, Katanga Province, Oriental Province, this is where the bulk of the mining is now. Katanga Province is one of the great copper-producing areas in the world. And the diamond-producing region tends to center along the southern border as well, the border with Angola. The village of Maya Munene, which you may remember from reading in the book, is actually where Pat Robertson's diamond mine was located. He'd lost the mine, by the way, when Mobutu was overthrown. The whole deal was brought about, basically. Mobutu wanted a place to go when he was overthrown. He wanted a place to live, and he figured that his good buddy, Pat Robertson, if he made him even wealthier, would get him entree into the United States. And that was what the idea was behind the diamond mine, the gold mine, the farms, and everything else. Unfortunately, Pat Robertson, this was in 1994, didn't really have as much sway as he thought he did, and certainly not as much as Mobutu thought he did. And Mobutu was basically denied sanctuary in the United States. And Pat Robertson lost all of those goodies that he had in Congo when the next ruler took power, Laurent Kabila. You may remember there's a passage in Heart of Diamonds when Thomas Alban is kind of recounting and remembering how Gary Peterson, the evangelist in the book, got his diamond mine, lost it, and now he got it back again. Well, it was the same kind of thing, in a way, with Mobutu, only Robertson didn't get his mind back. What he did do, though, by the way, and this has nothing to do with Heart of Diamonds, but Pat Robertson turned around and tried to buddy up with Charles Taylor. Now, Charles Taylor was the man who ruled Liberia, another place of great scandal in Africa. Charles Taylor was actually indicted by the ICC, the International Criminal Court, and today, I believe, he was overthrown, and I think he's in jail. I'm not sure. But that was Pat Robertson's second choice of how to be a good Christian in Africa.
I'd like to thank Dr. Joyce Furfuro for the opportunity to talk about the Congo with her class.